Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Praise God, church. Good to see you. The one who's getting baptized, what's your name? Sarah, good to see you. I haven't seen someone as excited about their baptism as Sarah in a very long time. You know, when you're born again for a long time, you take some of these things for granted. But it's good for us to be baptized. Amen? And Sarah, if you listen to the series about baptism, you know that the series about the foundations of our faith, you know that baptism is not a requirement to enter heaven, but it is a requirement to fulfill all righteousness. Glory to God. Amen. Good to see us. Good morning once again. Any returning guests here? I can see some people behind there. Oria, I can see you. You're wearing your shades. That is so cool. I don't know if you're able to see you. Hallelujah. Amen. During the week, I read a joke about the fuel prices. You know, being here this morning is we have to thank God. Amen. With the escalating fuel prices, people have been able to make it, and I don't take it for granted. I belong to a group where someone posted and told us that their fuel price was at, a liter was at 8,500 shillings. 8,500. Now for us in town, we are crying for 5K. I told that person, I'm going to stop complaining. So I read a joke, and it was, I think, on someone's status, yes. And they posted that, aba local, it's a Luganda joke. Mutuwe kumafuta Uganda etabuse. Meaning, aba local, abali wano, mutuwe kumafuta Uganda etabuse. Yeah? It means, for the poor who are born again, give us somewhat, some anointing. Now, anointing in Luganda is translated to amafuta. So, give us some anointing. Things have become bad in Uganda. And I found that so interesting. Amen? With the recent things that have happened in our nation, the years that have passed, the last 2 years, and then now opening, when the president fully opened the economy, there have been a lot of mixed feelings in our lives. And in as much as, you know, we are born again, you see us here every Sunday, we are preaching. We are normal people like you. Things affect us and they cross us the wrong way. Some, just like you, we see things going bad, sometimes in the nation. And then you are forced to, sometimes not forced, but you are tempted to grumble, yeah? You're tempted to complain. And today, I just want, what I felt on my heart as I prepared was, telling us, yeah, God wants us to know that He cares, He knows whatever we are going through. But most importantly, we should stop complaining, grumbling, murmuring, arguing. Amen? And this morning, I'm going to share very few scriptures. I think this is going to be the shortest service ever. I hope. We're going to share a few scriptures on complaining, what it is, and why God hates complainers. We live in an era where complaining is almost, it's culture now, okay? Parents complain against their children against parents, citizens against the government against the citizens. I mean, there's just complaining everywhere. Siblings. Whatever you hear, sibling rivalry. What is the, yeah, that one. So siblings complain against each other. And you know, it's amazing that some of the deepest rifts we have in our families came from complaining, from bitterness, from arguing with our siblings. Amen? Or we have seen it, we have seen this play out in our fathers, mothers, aunties' lives, yeah? And sometimes the congregation complains about the pastors. Amen? And also sometimes the pastors complain about the congregation. Sometimes it is, but you congregation, you're too carnal. Then the congregation is like, but you pastor, you don't have enough mafta. You're not solving all our problems. We want to be fed. You're not giving us the word. We need to be delivered. You're not, you know, to be mumbera te tuvam. And also now the pastors are like, but also you congregation. Now what do you want us to give you? Yeah? And then we go to God and we're like, God, they are your people. Yeah? So, there is generally a lot of discontentment. When I talked about the economy opening, when you realize that, I think for that time when we were under lockdown, people would say things, politicians, analysts would say things on TV, on radio, you're somewhere, you hear things about, you know, oh, this is happening, the money that was supposed to be for this was put here, now why don't they put this here? But now when the economy was open, I kind of feel like now everyone has, the people who have gone back to work, now there is something else to be discontent about. You open the economy. At first, you close the economy for 2 years. Now when the government opens, we go like, but you open the economy. What things have you put in place for us to, you know, to go back and to for our lives and our businesses to get better again? There is just, I just feel like someone is, somewhere is discontent about something. That tax driver that you meet, I mean, when you leave home, there are just opportunities to complain. The devil gives you opportunities to complain. Right from the time you wake up, you're like, oh, it's a Monday again. For people who have to go back. Oh, the jam. My God. Then, after that, you enter your car. You're like, man, this jam. As you're there praying in tongues, a taxi guy comes and drives. And then you complain about him. And then even the guy turns and is like, but mama, how do you drive like that? Mwai gidawa. And then you go, The lights, now the lights are doing their job. Echitala chinkute. Yeah? This is typical, you know, Ugandan life. Oh, now the lights have grabbed me. What is that worker going to say? That colleague at work going to say? Banange, that chick, she's going to sit there. The time I'm going to log in. You reach work. You find your friend at work. They tell you, guess what happened to me? Should I tell you what happened? You're like, yeah. So they tell you, you know, can you imagine last night this and this happened? My mate did this and this. My child did this and this. And then you're like, you listen to their story. And then after you're like, but let me tell you for me what happened. As you know, has the biggest complaint. Do you know what? Let me top it up for you. Do you know what happened to me? This and this and this, this and that and that and that. And you know, sometimes it's even about, I see it for people who watch football. People are supporting their teams, but they complain about everything right from the start. Rachisabu, what? What is that? The person has done, what is it called? A foul, yeah? What? A foul? But the person did something wrong. Red card, whatever, green card, over yellow card, whatever other cards are there in football, I don't know. So, as in they complain, yet you can really see someone did the wrong thing on the pitch. It's, that guy, Tatwa Galiza, what kind of referee is this? They should give us another one. Who is the best referee man? Get this guy, shouldn't do this again. Man. And complaining is such, it is a part of our culture. And while some people, when you talk to people about how they complain, they will say, but you know what, eh? I'm just sharing my opinion. It is just my opinion. But as I was preparing, I asked Sam, what is the difference between a complaint and an opinion? Now, not all complaints are bad, okay? Not all complaints are bad. And not all complaints, not all opinions are complaints. And I'm going to tell you why. First of all, for an opinion, it's just something you feel about. It doesn't have to affect you. I can have an opinion about the politics in the U.S. Then it affects me, maybe too, you know, in my family. But I can have an opinion about, say, the lights here, the colors in this room. It's just an opinion. It's just that. You don't have to respond to it. However, a complaint is when you... when you express dissatisfaction about something, first of all, that thing has to affect you. There is no way, like I hear people saying, oh, I can't start complaining about the U.S. It doesn't affect me and my family. That is not a complaint. I can have an opinion. It can be a very strong opinion, but I sure cannot complain about the U.S. So it also really depends on if whatever I'm complaining about, say if I'm going to complain about I have a business and say the U.S. has made the economic sanctions in the U.S. and those sanctions affect me. Now, I can complain about that. Why? Because there is something there that is affecting me. So now there it becomes a complaint. Otherwise, it's just an opinion. Glory to God. Sometimes I read columns in the newspaper, opinion columns. And I'm like, but this guy is just complaining. It's supposed to just be an opinion column. Just put your opinion out there. But the guy starts, the president, his son, they did this, the oil, it's just the roads, it's security, it's just complaint after complaint after complaint. Now, again, like I said, not all complaints are bad. Some complaints, some, if they are maybe, say, industrial action, they bring changes. But God never meant it to be like that, amen? We shouldn't have to complain to have changes in our, you know, in our workplaces, in our villages, in the nation. Amen? So, next time you're airing your opinion, be careful that that you're not crossing over to complaining. But luckily, I'm not talking about people who complain a lot, so I don't have to use any of us as an example. We have the Israelites, and we're going to look at how they did it. And I hope that as you look at their journey, you place yourself, you see yourself. I see me. When I read it, I was like, man, Joanne, you've really been doing badly. So I hope that as we go through the complaints of the Israelites and how God reacted to them, we shall be reminded that some of these things are deadly. Now, other people will say, but complaining is such a small thing. You know, it got some people killed, first and foremost. Eh? Glory to God. Your God, your gracious God killed people over complaining and grumbling. Amen? And that is the same God that we serve. So, and also to remember that when we complain, we have to be very careful who we complain about and who we complain to. Amen? So why is complaining dangerous? I told you that complaining is when you express dissatisfaction about something that is happening and you desire a change. And not all complaints are bad, but for the purposes of what God is telling us this morning, He's telling us that a certain type of complaining is bad. Now I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to you in your heart about what kind of complaining that you're doing and what is displeasing to God. So why is complaining bad? What are the dangers of complaining? Let us look at Israelites. Let's start from Exodus 15, 22 to 25. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them. Glory to God. Amen. Complaining, first of all, the reason why it's dangerous is that complaining poisons your attitude and the attitudes of other people. Remember, the children of Israel had seen a great deliverance from the Lord. And then they wondered, through the Red Sea. Now they have crossed the Red Sea. God has annihilated their enemies, the Egyptians. And they get into the wilderness and they rove around for 3 days. And it was hard. And they found the water. So you'd think that, you know the Israelites have found water. But when they found the water, it was bad that they didn't have water for 3 days. But even the water they found was bitter. Imagine that was you. You're looking for water. And even the water you find is bitter. You're like, Fuchs, I have found the water. But now, the water is bitter. And then we look at Exodus 16, 1 to 3. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Amen. So we see, first of all, the children of Israel at one point, they are complaining about the bitter waters. Then now, they are hungry and they need food and they are complaining. Now, someone can say, but Joan, this wasn't expressing their opinion. Remember, we said that complaining, it has to be something that affects you. So they go to Moses. But you see, when the Bible records some of these things for us, it's not as light as we read it sometimes. When those guys were complaining, man, they would want to stone their leaders. Amen? Glory to God. Have we witnessed that in our country? When people are complaining, by the time Moses or Aaron is put on so much pressure, you people, it wasn't just, but you know, we are hungry, we want meat. Do you have some meat? Can you get us some meat? It is not anything like, they are not asking. They are complaining. They are threatening to stone them to the extent that they elicit a reaction of even fear from Moses and Aaron. By the time Moses and Aaron go to God and they're like, man, God, these guys are really on our cases. It is not as light as sometimes we see it. Now I want to show you from two portions about how complaining poisons your attitude or my attitude, and it poisons the attitude of other people. Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" A mixed multitude who were among them. At this point, it wasn't yet all of them. They were just a group of people. And that is how complaints work. You know? You just need to listen to one person who was complaining about maybe your pastor, and you're like, "Choka, no." Like, indeed, that is a point. So, about your boss, you're like, as long as you have a mixed multitude, that is all you need. The Bible tells us that a little leaveneth the whole lump. So, all you need is just a little, someone coming and saying, but Sam, have you noticed, these guys here, brah, chiba treating abwebati, the taxes, and you're like, yeah. But yet you're the very person who voted for the president. Amen? So, all you need is a little, something small, someone to come and whisper to your ear. And imagine someone who has had a good day, you left home, you are singing, praising the Lord, you reached work, and someone just started complaining about their boss in the department, and before you know it, you're also complaining about yours. One of the reasons we really have to be careful, the people that we speak to sometimes, the fellowships we attend, the things we listen to. If you're married here, you subject yourself to negative, that kind of negative talk. We find women who are always slandering men, slandering husbands. Men are no good. What? Kalenzelabo wange. He does this and this and this. Oh, the vice versa happens for the men. Chicks. Yeah? These chicks here. Let me, you will stay single forever. Amen. Glory to God. Chikuta gambe, amen. Yeah, so you know, be careful the things you listen to, because words are spirit, by the way. Words are spirit. There is no word. That is why when the Bible says we shall account for every idle word we have spoken, make sure that word is not a wicked word. It is not idle. It is not just stripping you off. Sometimes already things are hard as they are. Yeah. But now when you start to complain about it, about whatever you're going through, it will become worse. Even you who wasn't hungry. I imagine not everyone in Israel at that time was hungry. Maybe some people had eaten in the morning. But you know when someone comes and tells you, meat, enyama, you know where is the meat? You even start to feel, you're like, I'm hungry. I think I'm a bit hungry. Yes, you know, words have, do you know that, but I can describe to you a meal. People who watch Food Network, I can describe to you a meal and all of you get hungry right now. Yes, and I bet if you have the money, you'll go to Cafe Java's and buy that meal. All I need to do is just say, can you imagine over this word, that cheese, the way they do what? You know, Food Network, man, by the time the guy is done with describing for you the meal, I can assure you that I'm trying to say that words are spirit, and they can even affect the way you feel physically. If someone complains about, say, sickness, do you know you can leave feeling sick? Has anyone experienced that? You meet someone, maybe they are always sick. Something is always wrong with them. Man, I give you a week with that person, you start to feel a certain thing on you. And you're like, but this COVID also. Hey, people have died, 10 people, 100, 1,000. You even start to talk and you start to clear your throat. Complaining can affect you physically. So it was a group of people, a mixed, small multitude, mixed like this, yeah? And they started to complain. And before Israel knew it, the complaint had spread. So it poisoned the attitudes of the listeners. Glory to God. Amen. So complaining is dangerous. And when we complain, when you continuously or consistently complain about something, say for example, you know, the children of Israel were in the wilderness by God's design. Okay? And he was testing them. So sometimes we enter wildernesses in our lives. And the very first thing you will do, a wilderness that God has willed in your life, and the thing you'll do, you start to complain in the wilderness, you complain, already your wilderness is hard, by the way. You are just making it worse by complaining, amen? And so, before you know it, you start to get bitter towards God, okay? You didn't come through for me. You didn't do this. When you say that you are going to take me to that, when you gave me that promise, God, I thought things were going to be easy. And this is what happens. Usually, God gives you a promise, but there is a transition period. Do you know the children of Israel were in transition into the promised land when they were in the wilderness? And it happens to us that God gives you a promise, and then you're transitioning. And then you find challenges along the way, yeah? And you start to complain. You know, you can get bitter. Without even anyone's help, by the way. No pastor helped you, no sister, no brother helped you. You yourself can develop a root of bitterness towards God. Why? Because of the suffering that you're going through. Why doesn't God come through for me? Why doesn't this come? You know? And then before you know it, you are bitter. Glory to God. Have we experienced that? And God is telling us, do not complain. Do not complain. Or else you become bitter, you poison your attitude, and the wilderness becomes 10 times harder to go through. Amen? Then when we complain, it means that we do not trust God. The implication of this is that we don't trust God, and in the end, it will stunt our personal growth. Complaining will stunt your growth. I am telling you. It doesn't matter how anointed you are. It will stunt your growth. Exodus 16, verses 3. And the children of Israel say to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." These guys didn't want to die. Why is it that they talk about dying after they have left Egypt? And sometimes we are like that. Kalen the one didn't say you. You know, there is a time. You know, complaining is so interesting. You can complain and you become, like, many things you complain about don't even make sense. So at a time, Sam was driving. Let me use my example. So Sam is driving. So he drives, but man, the potholes, you guys, by every pothole. Like, I asked him, "Are you looking for them on the road?" He said, "John, by the road." He said, "By John, there are potholes everywhere." So as he's driving, he sees potholes everywhere. Me, I'm seeing ways he can dodge the potholes. He's like, "But John, they are everywhere. Where do you want me to pass?" They are literally packed like eggs on a tray. Like, where do you want me to pass? And for me, I'm seeing, no, you can pass here, pass there. Then as I'm imagining that, you know, when you're a driver, for us women, who sit in front with our husbands, you're also driving in your head. So he's driving physically, but you're also driving. Pa, 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 potholes. I told him, "You know what? You know, I complained too much." I complained to Sam too much that at one point I told him, "You know what? Either you leave me here or you'll find me there. But I just cannot stay in this car." What kind of nonsense is that? Now, look at the children of Israel. They are telling God, after he has saved them, they couldn't see this. They couldn't say this when they were in Egypt. They say it conveniently when they're in the wilderness, okay? After they have seen how the Lord loves them. That, "Oh, we should have died." And then they choose the hand by which to die. The hand of the what? The Lord, not their enemies, okay? So, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." God had just saved them miraculously. God has saved them. He could have killed them in the Red Sea. He could have killed them. But God had just saved them. And now they are telling Moses that, "You know what? You should have left us there to die, not by the hand of the Egyptians, but by the hand of the Lord. When we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full." Their bodies, let me tell you something about denying your body food. It's always a test. That is why we fast. And I've heard some people say it's one of the greatest tests for our physical bodies. When you deny yourself food, it's such a test. And that is why, we fast. It is denial, it is difficult, it's hard. So, it's amazing how that test, or what that test can do to people. Glory to God. When people are hungry, they always say, a hungry and angry mob. Oh, you don't want to meet such a mob. They are hungry and they are angry. They have complaints. If you meet them, you're finished. They are hungry, at least when people are full. There's a way when people are full, they are not as, as aggressive as you'd want them to be. That is why people use food. You first come, it's so wangi. First have something to eat, katkatwo gere. Yeah? So, when the children of Israel complained, and in a way, this is how we start our growth. If just like the children of Israel, we complain in the wilderness for the tests that we are going through, we will fail to see and experience the hand of God in new ways. They had known that when they were in Egypt, they had known God a certain way. They had heard about him, read about him, from the experiences of their forefathers. And that's all they knew. But now God was telling them, oh, God intended that they experience him in a new way, in a fresh way. He wanted to show his love to them, his, you know, to unveil his plan to them. And just like the Israelites, most times we are also like that. Every time we complain, can you imagine if there is a time they complained and God was like, okay, someone hold me. You guys go there. I am going to finish you all of you. And I think we're going to get, Dennis, you know that scripture where the Lord wanted to annihilate everyone. Please look for it. And imagine God had actually gone ahead and acted on his anger at that point. The Israelites who never have experienced like him, they have never have seen a God who fights battles. Because while they were in Egypt, they didn't experience this. Now, on your way, as you're in this wilderness, as you're crossing over, God intends that you experience him in a new and fresh way. But if you're going to complain, then you're telling God, I don't trust you. I don't trust your plan. I am okay where I am. And it's okay. Oh, take me back. Now, for them, they even wanted to go back. Can you imagine what complaining does? You were doing badly, but now you're willing to even go back to that place. Let me tell you, I think I read it somewhere one day, and someone had written and said that, never go back to the places God had to deliver you out of. Never. Places that God, you had to fight to get out of. God, you are in Egypt. You are going through something that was hard. It could be something to do with financial discipline. It could be a relationship matter. And normal and then no chwangra, or you get victorious. Try all you can. Never to go back to that place. Try. Do everything you can not to go back to the place that you had to literally fight to get out of. Because when you go back, it will be worse. Now, complaining will make that place that is so bad, it will make it look better. Just like for the Israelites. Amen? It will make you compromise. It will make you, I don't know, it will make you be stupid like the Israelites. You want to go back to a land of slavery over hunger. So you're telling God, I don't trust you. I don't. And also, you know, anyway, Hebrews 3:7-12. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. And so I saw in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you, and if lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Because this generation complained and grumbled, and they were sinful, all right. But one of the sins that came out very clearly, as was idolatry, was complaining and grumbling. And you know what? God said, you're not going to enter my rest. And everyone that left Egypt never made it into the promised land apart from the spies. Okay? Joshua and Caleb. Now, it's possible that you leave your place of, God delivers you out of something, or he gives you a promise, he wants to take you to a better place, but it's also possible that you don't actually reach. You stay in the wilderness and the promise dies. Now, one of the reasons why promises die is because we complain and we grumble. And just like the Israelites here, the Bible is warning us not to be like them. Not to be like them. Otherwise, we shall not enter into the promised land. Glory to God. Who wants to experience their promises? As you're waiting for your promise, I tell you, to make it easier for you, don't complain. Do not grumble. And when we don't complain, it's also a sign that we believe that everything works out for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. If you really, really, really and genuinely believe that, then there'll be no reason to complain. Amen. If you believe that you're a child of God and everything works out, let me tell you the only way that scripture is going to be tested in your life, that one of everything works out for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, the only way that scripture will be tested is if something is not working out. Otherwise, it is void. It is null and void. Something must not be working out in your life for you to say, yes, I believe it is going to work out. Glory to God. When you're reading the Bible, some of these things are easier. Like, okay, if everything is going to work out, then that means that first and foremost, I must be in a scenario or in an environment where some things are not working out. Glory to God. Amen. And so if you believe that God is able to work out everything, even that decision that wasn't made in your favor, that promotion that you missed, that, man, it's a test of faith. It's evidence of faith when you say, you know what, regardless of what so-and-so has done, I believe, regardless of that heartbreak, I believe. Instead of complaining about this kagai, and every time you're there on the status, you see the kagai is blasting somewhere. Ah, you're like, man, Juliana, you're called, you're like, can't imagine this guy. You see, he had pimples, no longer has them. Oh, then you complain about, now you see, he has even gained weight. Then you complain and complain. Or if you're a guy, now you see, she has done her hair. Me, I used to just see her in swaz. Now she has braids. Who is giving her money for braids? You know, if you really believe that God is going to work it out for your good, do not complain. Glory to God. Now, when things are tough, is there a place to go before God and you say, God, I'm telling you, this burden is too heavy, it is too light. It's okay for us to go to God and we tell him those things. But when you consistently express dissatisfaction, for every time you go before God, it is that one thing. You're complaining about that one thing. Every time, God, that promise. Now you see when this person is doing this. Now you know, when are you going to stand on Romans 8:28? Everything works out for the good. When are you going to stand on pray for those people that, the people that don't treat you well, people that mistreat you, people, pray for people that oppress you? When will you try out all those things? But you know, when you complain, you'll not have time to try out those things. Amen? So, complaining shows that we don't trust God and it stunts your faith. You will not walk in faith. And I say that when we trust God, when we don't complain, we are indeed saying that, God, we trust your plan. We trust your plan and we have faith in what you are doing. So the scripture is here when God wanted to annihilate all the Israelites. Numbers 14. Let's go to Numbers 14. We're going to read from verse 1. So the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has God brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they say to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Can you imagine? You complain to this extent that you're even saying, now this is a strategy. Tugenda kola wetuti. Let us select someone. We go back into the land of slavery. Okay? Verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Now, your leaders, imagine leaders falling before the children of Israel. This is what I was telling you about this, the kind of complaints these were. These were not Facebook statuses. They were not Instagram things. No, this was real serious complaining. Hey, guys even brought up, they must have brought out things like stones to finish off these guys. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Okay? But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of that one, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. This is when they had brought their report. And they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with the signs which I have performed among them? How long will you not believe God for how he set you free, the things he has done for you, the faithfulness and the goodness he has shown you? I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them." Can you imagine? "And I will make you a nation greater and mightier than they." God was willing. He had heard it. He had said, you know what? You know, God is not like our president, that you will abuse him, then he takes you, puts you in jail. Man, the God that I read about here was like, you know what? I am done. Let me finish them off. Kasta, you two guys are my proper chaps. We can start from there. Yeah? So, and this is after, you know, the spies had been sent and brought a good report, you know, Caleb and Joshua. So, it's very possible for us to cut short our faith, to stunt our faith, because you're not going to be able, when you overly complain, you will not experience the goodness of God in ways that you have never seen, ways you have never, you know, anyway, I'm not going to go into stories now. So, yes, we shouldn't complain, we shouldn't grumble. Because God, by the way, if he was willing to do away with... The Bible says, you read it for yourselves. The Bible says they wept. Do you know this weeping? I think when we read about these things, we think maybe they would go and cry. Oh, God. No, it was weeping, removing clothes, tearing, what, ashes. God, we cannot. They wept. It must have been that very bad weeping that elicited this kind of response from God, where God gets up and is like, no. Imagine like a child throwing a tantrum. Do you know how annoying that is? Mothers who are here, you're going somewhere, you're smart, what? Hey, you're holding your son, your daughter, and then the child throws a tantrum. First of all, you're embarrassed. Then they are rolling. Then you look at yourself, you're like, by the time now I get this one, the sweat, the what? By the time now pulling you, it's just a sight for sore eyes. And when those tantrums happen, I think my husband knows, even my children, my patience, negative. I just want to get that child like this and, Yeah, so it is that kind of tantrum that an adult throw tantrums, by the way. It was an adult tantrum. Imagine the families up all here. We are crying. Our children are crying. They are throwing themselves down. Oh, you should have left us. The spies. Oh, what? And God is like, you know what? I've had it. And even us sometimes as parents are like, you know, you child, you're sweet, but I have had it. You first come here. First come. And then you lay hands and pray for them. Glory to God. Amen. You lay hands, mothers, lay hands and pray. Believe the Lord. Believe the Lord to touch your child. Glory to God. Amen. Say amen. Yes. So, and sometimes I see other people's children throwing tantrums and I'm like, Jesus Christ. Lord. So, let us not be, you have to come to a point in your life as a Christian where you are mature and you stop throwing adult tantrums with the Lord. Amen? If something hasn't worked out, it has not worked out. Move on. Believe God. Yeah? day you're over complaining, crying. Man, eh? And this leads me to the last point, which is complaining will keep you under chastisement and the Lord's discipline. Now, well, we know that the Lord disciplines the children. He loves his sons. But he's not always disciplining. But if you complain, you will always be under chastisement. You know, have you noticed that people who over-complain, they always have something the Lord is teaching them? They always have something the Lord is teaching them. Then they complain and complain, and they're like, Nekatindo waza, the Lord wants to teach me patience. For you, the Lord is always chastising you, teaching you something. The Lord is always. And I would like to share with you as something that Rick Joyner wrote some time back. Rick Joyner writes on this point of complaining will keep you under chastisement and the Lord's discipline. Rick Joyner talks of a time he was complaining and grumbling and what the Lord told him. He said that there is a day he was seated, that the Lord had given him an instruction. He had a prophetic word to open up a fellowship in Charlotte, a city called Charlotte. And he had told him that when you open up that fellowship, when you do that thing for me, I'll add more numbers will come to you. And he had given him indicators that when you see this happening, then I'll do this. When you see this happening, then I'll do this. So Rick Joyner, for some reason, he said things were just not working out. Things were not working out. And some of these things were out of his control. Now, he didn't say why things were not working out. But what I read was, things were not working out. And it was so difficult for him to break through that area. And things were slow. They were almost shutting down. Things were not moving as fast as he wanted. So one day he sits and he starts to think in his heart, but what can I do to make this better? What can I do to move things fast? And as he thought and thought and thought about this, in that very moment, he got a call from Bob Jones. And Bob Jones talks to him and tells him, no, things are going to work out. You don't worry. Bob Jones encourages him. You don't worry. But imagine, Bob Jones calls him and he's talking to him about the very thing he was thinking about. Glory to God. That very thing he was thinking about, Bob Jones located the guy in the spirit. Glory to God. And so he encourages him and tells him, no, you don't worry. Things are going to work out. The Lord is with you. Blah, blah. And then after he tells him that another reason why, by the way, one of the reasons why things are not working out for you is because you've been complaining and grumbling. There's complaining and grumbling in your tent or in your camp. And he told him that because of this, God had told Bob Jones that he had put Rick Joyner in the holding pattern for one whole year. For one whole year. Why? Because there was complaining in Rick Joyner's camp. And Rick Joyner knew that this is something he had to address immediately. So God had put Rick Joyner in a holding pattern. Can you imagine God holding things back for 1 year? For me, that sounds like a journey that is supposed to take you 3, takes you 11. 3 days. It takes you how many years in the wilderness? 40. Yes? So, after that, he also told him that, you know, when you complain, because you complained, you showed your unbelief and you showed your unbelief and your murmuring reached the Lord. So that is why you're in a holding pattern for 1 year. You expressed your dissatisfaction and your mistrust and unbelief in God's word, the word he had given you and his plan for the ministry at that time. And Rick Joyner had to repent. So it's possible for us to go into chastisement for 1 year, or for even our promises to be held, to be delayed because of this complaining. The Bible tells us that all these things, Philippians 2, 14 to 16, did we read that? Philippians 2:14 to 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may receive, this is Paul, so that I, Paul, may receive in the door of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Go back to verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things, not some things, all things without complaining and disputing. As you wait for God to fulfill his promises for this year, I know maybe the year started, God has given you promises, God spoke to you, or he will speak to you. The Bible here tells us to do all things, not some, all things, okay, without complaining. And it is possible for us not to complain. Can we take our grievance to the Lord? Yes. But when you consistently, and that is all you do, express dissatisfaction about where you are, let me tell you, you're going to stay there for a long time. You're going to call unnecessary chastisement and excessiveness from the Lord, as we saw for the Israelites. You know, when I was reading the Bible, I was like, hey, but God, this was a bit too excessive also. But until I understood that, their complaining wasn't what I was imagining. It wasn't light. It wasn't trivial. It wasn't something he could ignore. By the time God says, you know, I want to do away with you people, eh? All of you. By the time he tests them like that in the wilderness, that means that these things were important to the Lord. Amen? 1 Corinthians 10, 6 to 11. Now these things become my examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lasted. And do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up early to play. No, let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. No, let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. No, complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. You realize that in this scripture, complaining is also listed as among the things that we should follow an example not to do. It is put in the category of committing immorality, testing the Lord, sexual immorality, testing the Lord. Yeah? Go back to verse 6. Lusting after evil things, idolatry, okay? And then the next verse talks about complaining. So this is how serious these things are. Complaining is to the Lord and grumbling. It is such a small thing. And let me tell you something about these things that we say are simple. Even if you are 100 years spiritually mature, you have to always go back to the basics. Do not complain. Wake up, read your Bible, and pray. The day you feel like some of these things are too small for you, now you're up there, you are spiritually mature, you don't need them, is the day you start to fall. Now, these things, everyone does them. Any man of God, any woman of God, anyone, whether they're in filter ministry, working where, you are not supposed to complain. It's like how you say, you have to confess the word of God. You have to watch the things you think about. Think, do good things, do good deeds. The day you feel like these very simple things or principles in our Christian walk are too small, you get so familiar with them. That is the day. I'm telling you, you will not need to know everything about foundations of your faith. That is the day you start to fall. Amen? So if complaining, grumbling, and murmuring is put in the same category as those other sins, then it is something that is very important. So what do I feel this morning? I feel that God wants us not to entertain complaining. Make it a resolution. People make resolutions at the start of the year. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. All those things are good financial resolutions. But rarely do people make resolutions about saving character development. Like, you know, I'm going to stop slandering. I'm going to stop this, I'm going to stop that this year. So I encourage all of us, if you want to enter our promised land, if you don't want to be under in the holding pattern or in chastisement, constant chastisement by the Lord, try not to complain. Start by saying, you know what? I am not going to complain. I'm not going to complain about that church, that pastor. I'm not going to complain about this, about that. You can air your opinion, remembering that it's just your opinion and nobody has to respond to it. But also, we have to remember that some of these things, the Bible says that every time the Lord punished the children of Israel, he told them that they have complained against me. They would take their complaint to Aaron and Moses, but the Lord would take it so personal and would say, no, they have complained against me. And am I saying that we shouldn't hold people accountable? I know that some people who listen to this are asking themselves, okay, touch not the Lord's anointing, you know those things. And when people start to question you and they call the leader to accountability over his actions, they say, touch not the Lord's anointing. No, that is not what I mean. As a leader, you're held responsible. You're accountable to people. So do not use that, don't misuse that verse. Even in your offices, okay, you'll lead someone in office, and or even yourself, you may fear to speak against an evil that a leader is doing because of that verse, Psalms 105:15-19, and that says, touch not the Lord's anointed. Some people, of course, abuse this verse. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Just stop there. So leaders or people in places of influence misuse this to say, you know what? I don't want to be questioned about whatever I'm doing. I don't want to be accountable. But that is not what we are talking about. If someone is doing something wrong, respectfully address it, yeah? But do not grumble. Do not grumble against the anointed of the Lord, especially when they have a moment of human weakness, okay? Don't grumble against them. Take it to the Lord and talk to the Lord about it. So this morning, as you wait on God to fulfill the promises he has given us, make it your desire to wage war against the spirit of okwemulugunya, against the spirit of complaining and grumbling. I'm telling you, that is one of the ways, LAT, we shall enter our promises individually and also as a church. And you want to get out of that holding pattern if you're here and you feel like you are delaying, things are delaying to happen, be sure that it's not God's holding pattern. And if it is, I pray that the Holy Spirit reveals to you what you should do. But I bet one of the things that God wants you to do this morning is while you're in that holding pattern, just stop it. Take 1,000 seats. Stop it. Don't complain. Just, yes, be like the Lord. Be led. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was led to the cross. And he never complained. He never said anything. So, have we been blessed this morning? Have we been reminded this is a year of no complaints? At your workplaces? In your families? Don't be leading crusades for complaining people. Unless the Lord, yes, there are people who lead Ebibinja, and Christians, Ebibinja, people who complain. But let us not be amongst such people. Don't complain. Don't join people who are complaining. Otherwise, you do yourself a disservice. Amen? God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.